For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, everyone say blessing.
Blessing.
Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Let's pray together.
Hallelujah. God, in your name, touch Brother Silo with a special touch.
I need your touch.
Minister, O God, a special anointing and unction that would, O Lord, reach way down into our minds, our hearts, our souls. Minister to us, move upon us in a special way, O God. Touch him, I pray. Anoint him, O God, by the authority of your holy word, the Bible, and in the name of Jesus Christ.
In
Jesus'
name we pray. In
Jesus'
name.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everyone said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. And we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but for the sake of expediency tonight, we will say Paul wrote it so that we don't have any issues there. Praise God. Paul is quoting here from the Old Testament. And he's referring to the New Testament believers, but he's making reference to God's relationship with Abraham, and as a result, wants us to understand something about our relationship with God and God's relationship with us. He said, blessing, he blesses. Everyone say that. Blessing, he blesses. Many people, many sources that I looked into, For some reason, this phrase caught my attention a little while ago, and you know how it is. You read the Bible so many times, and you read the same passage many times over, but suddenly something about it gets your attention. And just the phrasing of that, blessing, he blesses. It seemed to speak to me, seemed to ask to be looked into, and I began to examine it, and I found out that in most people understand that to be a Hebrew word structure that just emphasizes the fact that God wants to bless us. There's an emphasis there. God wants to bless you. Say, God wants to bless me. Amen. God wants to bless me. Blessing, he blesses. It's repeated for the sake of emphasis. It's in the Old Testament. It's quoted from the Old Testament. Paul thought it was important enough to quote it and cite it and emphasize the fact that God wants to bless his people. Sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we get in the midst of our everyday life and we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to live for God. We're trying to get to church on time. We're trying to do this, trying to not do that, and trying to do it. And we get so concerned about what we're doing and what we're trying to achieve and what we're trying to accomplish and what my goals are, even though they be good goals and even though they be the work of God, that sometimes we forget that God wants to bless us. We don't have to earn the blessings of God. He wants to bless us. Amen. Now, I may sound like I'm going to contradict myself in just a little bit, but the concept is still valid, that God wants to bless us. We just need to recognize that and realize that we can put ourselves in a position to be blessed. Amen. Blessing, he blesses. I'm going to read you a definition. I was just joking with Pastor Roy about how much I hate to do this. But even to read my own writing, I have to do this. This is from Erdman's Dictionary of the Bible. Definition of blessing: to bestow goodness or favor, or to greet, to congratulate, to thank, to make peace, to worship and praise. All of those are ways we can define blessing. Blessing is a relational marker signifying the existence of some sacral, legal, or social relationship. God, angels, and humanity may bless. Praise God. Aren't you glad you can be a blessing to someone? You can bless someone. God, humanity, animals, and inanimate objects can be blessed. According to different examples in the Bible, you can bless inanimate objects. Precisely what is conveyed by the act of blessing differs, I like this language, differs depending upon both its grantor and grantee. However, blessing is a... wish I could read my own writing. Is a performatory utterance. Or a speech act that brings good upon someone or something, in contrast to cursing, which is maleficent, to its recipient. Jesus blessed the parts of the Lord's Supper. Jesus blessed the loaves that he multiplied when he multiplied them miraculously. And he also blessed the disciples in several different places. So God wants to bestow goodness on you and me. God wants to bestow favor on you and me. God wants to greet you and me. He wants to congratulate us. He wants us to know that he is happy with us, that he cares for us. Blessing, it says, he blesses. Say that again. Blessing, he blesses. Not only is that a phrase that is used for emphasis, but when you think about it, it says two things. It says blessing, and this is what the image I got when I began to look at this phrase. Blessing, God going about, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. That's what he did. That was among all, everything that he did was good. Every time he performed a miracle, every time he helped his mother around the house, whatever he did, it was good. Everything he did, he went about doing good. Now, let's take that on a broader scale. God blesses. That's what God does. So while God was, do you know that you don't even have to know God? You don't even have to care about God. You don't even have to think about God. You don't have to believe in God for him to do good to you, to bless you. You may be here for the first time tonight, and the very fact that you were able to come to this place was a blessing from God. The fact that each of us woke up this morning and took a breath before we got out of bed is a blessing. God blesses. Blessing, doing what God does. See, our culture wants us to think that the Christian God is a judgmental God. And that we have to somehow earn his blessing or earn his salvation or earn. He wants to do good things for you and for me. Blessing, he blesses. So not only he blesses everyone, but what the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand is that there's a special blessing for the child of God, that he particularly blesses God's people. That's what God was saying in the Old Testament. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying in the New Testament. Blessing, he blesses his people in particular. Matthew 5, 43 through 46 says that it rains on the just and the unjust. And that the sun, you have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Keep going. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus is expressing the character of God. The nature of God is to bless others. And then he closes out the thought that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Now, when we quote that, a lot of times we think, you know, that, you know, the sun is the good thing and the rain is the bad thing. But I don't think that's what it's saying. The rain, Israel is a semi-arid climate. Rain's a good thing. They like it when it rains. Things grow. If it doesn't rain, things don't grow. And that's what the Lord is saying. He's not saying good and bad. He's saying good happens to the just and the unjust. He blesses. Blessing. He will bless us. God is not willing, praise God, that any should perish, according to 2 Peter 2 and 9. That God, it's God's desire. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That was a wrong reference, by the way. I gave the wrong reference in Peter. Go ahead, keep going. For kings and for all that are in authority, this is our job as the people of God, as God works in us and works through us. The nature of God at work in his people. He wants us to bless all that are in authority. Just those that agree with us politically. Is that what it says? For all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Keep going. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Yes. Who will have all men to be saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire. Keep going all the way to verse 6. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for just a few to be testified in due time. Praise God. My desire tonight, and I feel the purpose of this message is for me to remind us that I know there are a lot of people who have struggled in the last year or two, materially, spiritually, physically. I've got my own story to tell. But God wants us to know that he wants to bless us. He has good things in store for us. God is not willing that any should perish. How much more does he care for his own children? He said in one place in the Old Testament, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for good and not for evil. Hallelujah. You know, I can't see the plans he has for me sometimes. But this book says that he has plans for me and they're good plans. Hallelujah. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32. For the Lord's portion is his people. Now I know this is an Old Testament passage, but we are his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Next verse. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Praise God. Now, that's talking about Israel, talking about the people of Israel when it says Jacob. But nonetheless, we are his people. That phrase, that apple of his eye, what that means is we are in the center of his focus. His eyes are always on his people. He never takes his attention off of us. Praise God. When he's going about blessing the rest of the universe, when he's blessing the rest of the world, when he's blessing whoever he blesses, whenever, wherever, however he blesses, he's always got a special blessing for his people because we are the focus of his attention. Everything that he does on this earth, every political change, every social change, everything that takes place, he's doing for our benefit because he wants to bless us. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. There is no darkness in God's light. There is no shadow. It doesn't change. No place to hide any secrets. When God wants to do good things, He's got something for you. He's got something for me. Every good gift comes down from the Father of light. Praise God. Every good gift. Hallelujah. Blessing, He blesses. There's an emphasis here. He wants to give you a special blessing. He's got a blessing in store for you tonight. Before you leave this place, if you're struggling with something, if you're wrestling with a question, if you're looking for direction, if you're looking for a job, if you don't know where to turn, God has a blessing for you before you leave this place tonight. You don't need to leave here the way you came. God has a blessing because He wants to bless you. We don't have to convince our Heavenly Father that we deserve it. We don't have to convince Him that we need it. He knows our need before we pray, the Bible says. He wants to do good things for you. He wants to open doors for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to teach you. He wants to strengthen you. Because blessing, He blesses. Amen. Let's look at the context of this. Hebrews 5:11. If we go back, we read these verses. You see that in Hebrews 5 at the end of the chapter, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He's talking about Melchizedek. When for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He's talking about spiritual growth. He's saying you need to grow. Somehow you didn't grow like you ought to have, but I'm here to help you, Paul said. I'm here to instruct you that God has something for you. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, to discern. Everyone say discern. Therefore, he said, because we want to grow, because we want to get beyond the baby stage, because we want everyone to be mature, we want to grow as a body and as individuals, therefore, we're going to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That doesn't mean we stop teaching it, or we stop believing it, or we stop. It means I'm not going to spend all my time on that, is what Paul said. You should have this down. You should understand who Jesus Christ is. The doctrine of Christ, the oneness of God. That's why we teach that in the New Life classes, because it's a basic principle. You have to understand who Jesus is, the mighty God in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. The rest of the truth of the gospel revolves around that very fact. The whole Bible depends on that knowledge to understand it properly. The doctrine of Christ, we'll never cast it aside. What he's saying is, let's keep this in store and keep it at hand, but move on to deeper things. Let us go into unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Does that mean we stop repenting? No, that means I shouldn't have to teach you how to repent. By this time, you ought to know. If you do something wrong, what do? Repent. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms. How do we need to be baptized? Baptized in Jesus' name. How do we know that? The Bible says so. What does it say? It says that wherever the apostles went, they baptized in Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you're wondering about these blessings that God has in store and why you're not getting more of them, let me ask you a question. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you repented from your sin? That means ask God to forgive you of the things you've done wrong. Admit that you've done things wrong. Admit that you're a sinner. God, I'm a sinner, and I want to change. Please forgive me. That's repentance. If you're baptized in Jesus' name, those sins are washed away, washed out of God's memory, washed from our soul. The Bible says, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered. And then there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What happened every time, whenever there's an evidence determined in the book of Acts for someone having been filled with the Holy Ghost, what did they do? They spoke in tongues. Praise God. These are basic doctrines. Now, I read one. I won't go into that. Praise God. Those things ought to come real easy. Listen. This is just an aside, okay? We do little surveys at the end of the 301 class, 101, 201, 301. If you weren't paying attention when you went through those, I'm going to help you. The 101 classes are the basic Christian disciplines, the things that we all need to do. Everyone said all. Okay, pray, fast, read your Bible, go to church, give, tithe. All those things. The second, 201, is the doctrines, the basic doctrines of the Bible for the New Testament. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism in Jesus' name. The oneness of God. The very things that Paul talks about here. That's why we teach those things. Because the Bible says they're fundamental. Amen. And then we talk about holiness. The Bible says, without which no man shall see the Lord. Okay. That's necessary. And if you've been through, if you've been through all three levels and you don't understand the oneness of God, then you need to find someone and sit down with them and ask them, what does this oneness of God thing mean? I know we baptize in Jesus' name, but I don't understand why. You need to find out why. You need to know what the Bible says about these basic doctrines. Thought I'd get more excitement about that. Okay, so thank you, Brother Rossing. The basics. You got to have the basics, Paul said. But we need to move on. Once we need to get a hold of these basics, and then we need to move on. We should get these down, and this we will do, verse 3 says of chapter 6, if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Does that sound like someone who's been born again? It does to me. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. It's impossible to renew them. That's a scary verse when you read it that way. Now, I'm going to make a confession to you. I've heard Brother Grant teach this verse many times. And when he teaches it, and I hear what he says, it makes sense, and it agrees with me in the Holy Ghost, in my spirit. And that makes sense, and I feel like that's right. You know, I have a witness in the Holy Ghost. That's right. But then when you read it, it sounds like it's saying something it's not. It sounds like it's saying it's impossible for someone who has fallen away to repent again. But what it's really saying, and this is how Brother Grant taught it when I heard it, when I started looking at this, I thought, I'm going to run into trouble here because I'm going to read some commentaries that are going to disagree with what Brother Grant's teaching, and I'm going to have to, but they said the same thing. That what it says here is that the person who's in a state of fallenness cannot be renewed again under repentance until they decide to get out of that state of fallenness. Now, praise God. I was, in preparing for this message, I was thinking about what it was like. I've been thinking about this a lot lately for some reason, but I remember Brother Rossing, I remember over there on Milwaukee Street when it was new, when it was brand new, Brother Thomas, I'd come to church and I wouldn't want to go home. I would sit in the pew until almost everyone, I didn't come and yak in the vestibule or just chatter at the altar. I came and I prayed and I sought God and I sat on the front row and I danced and I cried and I shouted. And when church was over, I sat down on the pew and I thought, oh, how did I ever find this? How wonderful this is. What a great experience. I didn't know you could feel this way. I was tasting of the powers of the world to come. It was the thing I've been looking for all my life. Oh, it was precious. It was sweet. If you haven't felt that way for a long time, if you forgot what it felt like to feel that way, if you forgot what it was like the day you came out of the waters of baptism, if you don't remember how badly you wanted the Holy Ghost before you finally were filled with the Holy Ghost, I prayed at the altar. I tried praying everywhere I could think of. I actually went on a camping trip by myself with my dog, thinking that maybe if I get away from everything, I can get in that. And I prayed in the woods. I'm walking around out in the woods with my dog, praying, asking God for the Holy Ghost. And I went to visit my parents, and they didn't want nothing to do with my religion. They were glad I wasn't smoking pot anymore or drinking alcohol or any of that stuff. But and I went to church in Appleton, Wisconsin, and Brother Lemke was the pastor there, and I don't remember the name of the guy who prayed with me. But I remember where I was standing in that church. I spoke in tongues for about 2 seconds. And I pulled on my hands and I looked at him. I said, was that it? That's it, brother. That's it. So I lifted my hands up again. I spoke for 2 more seconds and I said, was that it? Praise God. It's impossible for someone who has been enlightened, someone who has tasted of the powers of the world to come, if you're living in a fallen state, if you backslid to the point where that stuff doesn't mean anything to you anymore, where you can come to church and all you can think about is all the things you don't like, then it's impossible for you to renew your repentance until you get a change of attitude, until you get a change of heart, until something happens inside of you. Blessing, he blesses. Blessing, he blesses, but you limit the blessings he can give to you when you distance yourself from him by your flesh. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless me. He wants to bless every one of us. But sometimes what we do is we get ourselves into a state where he can't work in our lives like he wants to. Why isn't God answering my prayers? Why am I not having revival? Why can't I feel the Holy Ghost? I sat at a table one time when Brother Grant was teaching me a home Bible study. And the woman that was in the Bible study with me had grown up in the church, and she looked across at, you've heard this story probably before, looked across the table at him, and I didn't understand anything. I was just starting to get it. And she said, I know I need to repent, but I don't feel like I don't have a desire to live for God, she said. And I saw change come over Brother Grant. And it was like I wasn't even in a room anymore. And he said, the only thing I can tell you is that you have to repent. Whether you have a desire, whether you feel like it, doesn't matter. What you have to do is repent. Until you do have a desire to live for God. Praise God. I'm reaching for somebody. I don't know. I didn't know how this message was going to go, but I know that I'm reaching for somebody. I'm reaching for somebody who's dealt with some of the same things that I've been dealing with. You know what's been happening to me lately? I haven't been having those long prayer times that I like, that I've been trying to plan for, that I've been trying to schedule, but I've been praying when I can. And I've been real honest with God. I need this, God. I need this. I need this. I need you to talk to me. I remember praying here. I need you to give me a word. I need you to give me a word, Lord. So he did. Like for the next 10 days, he gave me the same word over and over and over again. Until I came in on a Wednesday night and Brother Grant was preaching. He was teaching that lesson, the last one he taught on Unshackled. And I came in and I sat down and the words that came out of his mouth were shackled by bitterness. Bam, there was that word again. Right between the eyes. I said, okay, Lord, you heard my prayer. You gave me a word. And he, listen, when God starts reading my mail to me, then I know that he wants to bless me. When I pray from my heart and God answers in such a marvelous way, I know God wants to bless me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everyone said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, if they fall away, if you're in that fallen state, you're not going to receive the blessings of God. You have to make a change. You have to change your attitude. You have to change your approach. You can't, he that believeth, that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. Then Paul says, for the earth which drinketh, he gives us an example, a natural example. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, the whole earth, the whole area, the whole region gets rain, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Any gardeners here? All right. And when you, vegetable garden, anyone have a vegetable garden? You expect to eat something out of that vegetable garden when you're done? Some of you don't really expect to get anything out of it. That may say more about the gardener than the garden, but it brings forth herbs. That means any growing, anything that grows. Meat for them by whom it is dressed. Receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. He's making the same point that he just made. He's repeating it. He's giving us an example. He's saying, if you're going to give briars to God, if you're going to give thorns to God, he's blessing you anyway. He's blessing you. He's blessing every one of us. He's blessing us every day, every minute of the day, every moment that we're alive. God's blessing us. And are we going to return unto him fruit, or are we going to return unto him thorns and briars? If we return fruit unto God in the form of worship and prayer and godliness and holiness, then guess what? He's going to bless us more. Blessing, he blesses us. What happens sometimes is we get to the point where we think, well, you know, I can't do this. God doesn't hear my prayers. God's not answering my prayers. God's not meeting my need. This church isn't meeting my need. The pastor's not there when I need him. Blessing, he blesses. Fruit or thorns. Herb or briars. What are you returning? But beloved, we are persuaded. And then Paul goes positive. We are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is, everyone say, not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Oh, praise God. Which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Never one time did you do something for the family of God, for the kingdom of God, for the name of God, for the work of God that he didn't notice. Not once, not one time, not one time, not one minute. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Everyone say the end. Praise God. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Praise God. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater blessing, 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 he blesses. If you're in a place to receive it, then he will bless you. If you are in a place where you remove yourself from the blessings of God, you're giving him thorns and briars. It's not that he doesn't want to bless you. It's not even necessarily that he's unable to bless you. He's only unable to bless you where you're at. Praise God. Blessing upon those things which respond. We can and will, according to the writer of Hebrews, inherit the promises of God. Everyone said, promises of God. Praise God. What kind of promises are we talking about? We're talking about promises like he gave to Abraham in the Old Testament. What did he promise Abraham? He gave him a promise, but it was a multiple promise. It had many parts to it. I better get my notes so I can tell you what they are. God promised Abraham a blessing, but the beginning of at the beginning of God's chosen people, when he did this in Genesis 12, it was at that point that God was calling Abraham out to establish his people for his name. This is the very beginning of the nation of Israel, the very beginning of the people of faith. God promised Abraham a blessing. He promised, first of all, that he would be a great nation, Israel. He promised that he would make his name great. This is in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. That he would have personal honor. Abraham was known among the people of the land. His name was known. They honored him. They respected him. They let him move among them. He actually went out and raised an army and fought a war with those that were round about him, that joined together with him. He had a good reputation. He had a great name. He said that God said, "You shall be a blessing." Through Jesus Christ, he was a blessing to all nations. But not only that, everywhere he went, he was a blessing to those around him. God said that he would bless them that blessed Abraham and curse them that cursed Abraham. All the families of the earth would be blessed through him. This is the promise that God gave to Abraham. This is the promise that the whole relationship of God with his own people began. That's where it started. And he went on to say, blessing, I will bless you. I'm going to bless everybody, but I'll bless you especially. Multiplying, I will multiply you. Praise God. Is your life being multiplied? Is your life being blessed? Now, we always think of blessing in terms of monetary or material things, but what about relationships? Do you have a better relationship with your loved ones than you did before you knew God? Have your relationships been improving? That's a blessing of God. Do you have better understanding of life, of the world around you? That was one of the amazing things for me when I came to God, was that once I started reading the Bible and I started putting things in context of the Scripture, people's behavior actually made, even bad behavior, it made more sense. I understood why people acted the way they did. The blessings of God are much more than just material and monetary things. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at verse 13 and 14 of Hebrews 6. This is where it talks specifically about the promises of God. Surely I will bless thee, and I will multiply, and I will multiply thee. These are some of the promises, some of the blessings that God poured out in the Old Testament. Just that, and to read the list, the exhaustive list of the places where God promised or where the Bible says that God blessed someone, we'd be here all night just talking about God bless this person, God bless this person, God bless this person, God bless this person. Praise God. And Genesis 27:30 says, and it came to pass soon as Isaac had made an ending of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came from hunting. God blessed Jacob. Even though Jacob was a supplanter, even though Jacob was a snake about getting the blessing, nonetheless, the blessing was given to him because he desired it, because he sought after it. Praise God. If you want to seek God for a blessing, there's a blessing there for you tonight. Amen. Genesis 27:36, he says, this is Esau saying, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these 2 times. He took away my birthright. Behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? You can lose your blessing. But you can still come back to God and ask for a blessing again. Amen. Esau lost his blessing, but he came back and he still got a blessing. He didn't get the blessing that he would have gotten. But nonetheless, he still got a... Listen, this is not a perfect family, is it? Can you say dysfunctional? But God's right there in the middle of it, blessing them. Praise God. Esau said unto his father, verse 38, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me. Do you think God only has one blessing? You think just because someone else in the church is getting blessed that you can't get blessed? Because someone has the blessing that that you wish you had? I know nobody else ever felt that way, right? That somebody else has the blessing that you wish you had. Anybody? All right, good. God has more than one blessing. You don't have to covet someone else's blessing. You don't have to be upset because God is blessing somebody else, because somebody else is getting a position, or because someone else is getting the opportunity to sing a special, or because somebody else is getting a new car and you're not. God has more blessings. Genesis 27, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. You can envy a blessing, but it's not going to help you any. Genesis 28:4, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. A blessing can be passed on to the next generation. This is God. This is being spoken to Jacob, third in the line. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now the blessing that God gave to Abraham is being given to Jacob. Praise God. I want to transfer the blessing of God from my life to my children and to my children's children. And I want my children to pass that blessing on. So when I get all self-centered and selfish and bitter and angry and I start getting critical of everybody, I'm cutting off the blessing. And what I'm doing is I'm going to limit the blessing that my children get and the blessing that my grandchildren get. You know what I found out? Now, this may be just me and what I'm thinking, but I find a lot of times that when I'm struggling, when I start to falter, that the people who I normally pray for, the people that I've won to the Lord, the people that I've witnessed to, they struggle too. Because the blessing that God has given to me is no, at that moment, not being transferred to them. Hallelujah. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, Genesis 49:28, and this is that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. Remember when Jacob called them all in, all the sons of Jacob, and he laid his hands on them and the two sons of Joseph as well, and he gave them all a blessing. Praise God. I want the blessing of my elders. I want the blessing of my elders. I need the blessing of my elders. I need the blessing of Pastor Grant. I need the blessing of Brother Putnam. I need the, it's hard for me sometimes. I'm a kind of a loner type, and I just told Blake last night, I don't like going to all that stuff. Give me a book. Leave me alone. We need the family of God. I need the family of God. You need the family of God. We need the blessing of our elders. I need the blessing of my father. He's not even in the church, but I need his blessing. I go to him from time to time just to be with him, just to be around him. I ask him the same questions. He tells me the same stories. Every now and then the story changes a little bit. And sometimes I can get a little more of the story from him. But there's nothing that does it for me like my dad saying to me, I love you, son. I'm proud of you. It was a great day when my dad started reading the Bible. It was an answer to prayer. And it was a great day when I asked him to lay his hand on me and pray for me. It's something I'd never experienced before. I was an adult. It was an awesome thing. We need the blessing of our elders. Amen. Genesis 39:5, last example. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. God blessed Potiphar for Jacob's sake. Brother O'Neill and myself, Brother Hector, who else works here? Ashley's mom, Cindy, works here. We work at a place called CS Logistics. There are some things there that are not right. Okay? They're just not right. Some things about, well, I won't get into it, but there's some things that are not right about that company. But I'm convinced that that company is being blessed because there are children of God that work there. Brother O'Neill, you believe that? Everything's not perfect there, is it? He's not answering. He won't. Praise God. I praise God that Brother O'Neill was there. He told me about the job. He helped open the door for me to get the job there. And I'm grateful for it. And sometimes there's one guy that every time I see him, we get into this negative thing about talking about the things that are wrong, the things that are bad. And what happens then is then that I'm limiting, when I get involved in that, I'm limiting God's blessing. I'm cutting off the blessing of God. You can't not be a Christian and then expect God to bless your job. You can't not be a Christian and expect God to bless your home. But if we're obedient to God, if we're submissive to God, if we're repentant, if we allow and we do the right thing, then God can use us to bless wherever we are. He can bless our boss. He can bless our job. He can save souls wherever we are. Praise God. Everyone said amen. All right. I'll be done in 5 minutes. Here's a really exciting thing about this. That the blessing of God and goes with the promise of Abraham. The promise of Abraham, in that promise is the blessings that God has promised. Look at Galatians 3:14. And I'm sorry. I wanted to put this together better than it is. But Galatians 3:14. Praise God. It was a, and you may be aware of this, you may know this very well already, but the fact that the promises and the blessings of God that God gave to Abraham are tied very closely with our New Testament experience. And the book of Galatians makes it very clear that every promise of blessing that God gave to Abraham is available to God's people today. Now, if you're here today and you've not been born again, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that doesn't mean that sometimes we Christians give people the idea, or they get the idea from us, that we think that God only loves us. You know, Jesus loves me. Well, he does love me, but he loves you too. He loves everyone. The Bible says God is love. All right, so the blessing of God is available, the Bible says, whosoever will. So if you're here tonight, you're a guest, and you're wondering, what all this family of God stuff is all about, it's about entering into a relationship with a living God, with a real God, who wants to do good things for every soul on the planet. And that includes you, and that includes me. But what he wants, he will do good things for you whether you do everything he's asking you to or not. He won't do all the good things that he could do for you because there are limitations that we place on him by our behavior and our attitudes. But if we are willing to surrender our lives to him and enter into a right relationship with God, then blessing, he will bless. Praise God. Let's stand. Galatians 3:14, I'll read verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you and I could have this blessing. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. How do we receive this blessing of Abraham? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise God. Now, usually we're a lot more high energy and there's a lot of emotion flowing, and by the time we get to this point, people are just rolling down the aisle and filling up the altar. But if you're a guest of ours, I want to assure you that that helps, but it's not necessary. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the presence of God in this place. He just confirmed what I'm about to say, and that is this, is that you can receive the blessing of God on your life tonight before you leave this place. And the way you do that is by surrendering your life to God in repentance, lifting up your hands and worshiping him. And he promises, if you will do that, he will give you the promise of Abraham through the Holy Spirit. That's what it says right here. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise God. A great nation? Well, this is the nation, the people of God. You become a member of the family of God. A holy nation, the Bible says. A royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Who were not a people, but now are a people of God, Peter said. Praise God. You become part of a wonderful, great international body of Christ. Praise God. That's part of the promise. Your name will be great. You can receive personal honor. Now, everybody you work with might not recognize that you're living for God, but nonetheless, God will honor you. You can have the Holy Ghost tonight. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. Brethren, I speak after manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it confirm a man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. How do you receive the Holy Ghost? You give your life to Jesus Christ. Come and give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. Maybe you're living in that place where you're not really receiving the blessing. Maybe you've slid into a place where you're not really receiving the touch of God in your life like you used to. Praise God. God's calling you to come. God's calling you to surrender. I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise, that it should make the promise of none effect. God's promise is still in effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham. God gave it to Abraham by promise. God promises that he will bless you.